would become a larger limud for you in Hilchas Geirus. The Gemara tells us in Masechtas Yevamos that when a ger comes before us for Geirus, so initially we discourage him. As the Shulchan Aruch tells us over here in Sif Beis, in Rishon Chesif Beis, Kishabola, his Geir, Omer Ramara, Isa, Shabbos, Geir. Why do you want to become part of Kal Yisrael? Yitha Yodea, She Yisrael, Bezmanazet, Chufim, Schufim, Miturafim, Bisurim, Baumaleim. Of course, we endure suffering throughout the period of the Golas. Why do you want to be part of Kal Yisrael? And Taisus explains the reason why we do this is because Kashim Gerim Yisrael Kesapachas, the Gerim are difficult for Klal Yisrael. Like a Sapachas, because they perhaps don't keep the Torah and the Mitzvahs properly. Taisus has a few explanations of that statement in the Gemara. Perhaps they keep them better than us and they make us look bad. Other Taisus quotes the name of Rama Avram Hager, but there are different explanations to that phrase. But Taisus says that's why we discourage the ger from joining Kal Yisrael. However, the Meiri explains, because we're concerned that he's being Megayer for an ulterior motive, you know, to get married, or for some other fringe benefit. And that's why we discourage him, which we'll get to a little bit later. The Mishnah tells himself, the Sivam is a person who converts for an ulterior motive, the Chachil, we shouldn't accept him as a ger. However, Salvagic once suggested that the reason why we discourage the ger, the reason why we say this to the ger, don't you know that Kal Yisrael now suffers throughout the period of the Galus? It's not because we're discouraging him at all. This is the beginning of his education, or the process of Geirus itself. And that is, in order for the Geir to become part of Kal Yisrael, he has to identify with us historically. And therefore, we're educating him as to what we have endured throughout the Galus, and we're asking him if he wants to be a part of that. And that's something that he needs to understand when he comes to convert to part of the Jewish religion. That's perhaps a pshat in the Mechilta, yeah? Perhaps it's included. The Mechilta tells Rashi quotes the Mechilta in Parashas Bo on the pasuk Ki Yagurit Chager Vasa Pesach Hashem, that when a ger will live amongst you and perform a carbon Pesach. So the Mechilta says you might have thought that every ger immediately upon converting has to bring a carbon Pesach, even if he converts in Chodesh Av and Chodesh Cheshvan, Chodesh Kislev, he has to bring a carbon Pesach. Then the pasuk concludes V'Haya Ke'ezra Chaaretz, he'll be like all the citizens of the land. They only bring carbon Pesach in Chodesh Nisan. The Meshech Chachma claims that there is, at least in Chodesh Nisan, that carbon Pesach could serve as the carbon of Geirus. We'll get to soon the three components of Geirus, Mila, Tefila, carbon. That carbon Pesach can at least, if he converts during Chodesh Nisan, around the 14th, that can serve as his carbon of Geirus. So there is some remnant, at least the Havamina, that every Geir has to bring a carbon Pesach. Well, why would I have thought that every Geir has to bring a carbon Pesach? And perhaps it's because carbon Pesach really represents all of the suffering that we had to endure throughout the Jewish history. And in order, that communal bond that we have with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and in order for the ger to convert, or part of his conversion has to entail, that he identifies and he recognizes that that he wants to be part of this historical arc of Klal Yisrael, which is perhaps represented most poignantly by the Karban Pesach. Anyway, we initially perhaps discourage the ger, we educate him as to Jewish history, and then if the ger responds, he says, I know about all this and I don't feel worthy, so then Malonoi Semiyad, we begin the process of Geirus immediately. And the Gemara says, why do we have to do it immediately? Because Shihuya Mitzvah Lo Meshahinan. We don't delay when the time for a mitzvah comes. So Rabbi Yosef Engel writes in his Gilyoni Hashas, and that Gemara Masechta Sivamis, that you see from here, that converting Geirim is in fact a mitzvah. We usually are taught to think that we don't have a mitzvah to missionize. But it seems from this Gemara that Shihuya Mitzvah Lo Meshahinan, there is a mitzvah to make Geirim. The Tashbeit asks, where do we find the source for this mitzvah? The Gemara seems to say almost explicitly, Shihuya Mitzvah Lo Meshahinan. What's the source for this mitzvah? So Biruchim Fishel Perlau discusses this in his comments on the Rasag, and he quotes from a Taisus HaRosh that perhaps it's from the Pasuk V'ahavtem Es HaGer, that you should love the Ger. Rabbi Yerucham Fishel Perlau is already aware that this is a weak source for the mitzvah to make Geirim in the first place. That's once a person converts, you should love them. I mean, treat them with covet, of course. But who's to say that there's a mitzvah to convert him in the first place? So others quote, and I think Rabbi Yerucham Fishel Perlau as well, quotes from a Ravid in the Bali HaNefesh, where the Ravid writes that when a person converts a Geir Katan, Geir was a minor, who, of course, can't make the bracha for himself. So then Beis Din makes the bracha ovelasiyos, and they make the bracha before the tefillah. So the Ravid asks, we'll get to in a second. So the Ravid asks, well, how could they make a bracha? Where's the mitzvah to make gerim? So the Ravid says, the mitzvah to make gerim is from the pasuk in Parashas Lech Lecha, that Avraham Avinu traveled down to Mitzrayim with his wife, his whole household, he traveled down to Eretz Yisrael, with Ves HaNefesh HaShar Asu B'Choron, with the souls that he made in Haran. Who is that? That's Rashi tells us over there. That's the Gerim. So why is he making Gerim? Avram Avinu is making Gerim. So don't you see from here that we also have a mitzvah to make Gerim, to follow in the footsteps of Avram Avinu? The problem is that that's not said with Lashon Sivoy. That's not a command. It's a statement of fact. And moreover, it's prior to Matan Torah, which of course is not the greatest in terms of source material for trying to find the source for a mitzvah that applies nowadays. Yeah.
What is the bracha?
We're going to get to that in a second. How about tefillah? If it's you're doing it for the Ger Katan, it's al tefillah's Gerim. Yeah. If the Beis Din is making a bracha for the Ger Katan, we'll get to it in a second. Otherwise, it's our tefillah. It's on the tefillah. So that's not a great source of the mitzvah to make Gerim either. And so therefore, Rabbi Yerucham Fishel Perlau concludes, as do many others, that probably the best source for the mitzvah to make Gerim, which it sounds like there is a mitzvah, the Gemara says, once the Ger says, Yadena Vin Chadash, Yuhi Mitzvah Lomishin, and we do it immediately, is rather from the Rambam and the Sefer Mitzvah, and the Mitzvah Saseh Gimel, where the Rambam writes that part of the mitzvah of Haftas, Hashem Alekech, to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is Shiyahei Shem Shamayim Misoi Val Yadecha. Not only that I should keep the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu between me and the Ribbono Shel Olam, but I should, if I love HaKadosh Baruch Hu so much, I have to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu so much that I seek to expand our relationship and include others, Tachas Kanfei Hashchina as well, to spread the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to others. And therefore, included in that is an obligation to spread the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu even to Geirim, to Goyim. You have to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Rambam says, Shehei Shem Shamayim is Ohev Al Yadecha. I should attempt to bring other people as well, or to spread the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to others. That comment of the Ravid in the Bali Anef is just significant, perhaps not in terms of the source of the mitzvah to make Gerim, it's probably from after Shem Alekecha, but it is significant in terms of the bracha on Gerus. The Gemara tells him, Sefer Pesachim, that the bracha on Tfilas Gerus is ala Tfilah. However, typically you'd make a bracha Oivel Asiyasan before you perform the act of the mitzvah. By Tfilas Ger, you can't make the bracha Oivel Asiyasan because the Gemara says before the Tfilah, Gavra Kati Lochazi, he's still not Jewish. How can he make a bracha if he's not Jewish until after the tefillah? So therefore the Gemara says he has to make the bracha after the tefillah. We find a similar thing by a woman who goes to tefillah's nida. They have the minig of making the bracha after the tefillah. Maybe in between, but whatever. After the first tefillah, make the bracha of ala tefillah, which is patterned after all based on the tefillah of the ger, where prior to the tefillah was Gavra Kati Lochazi. Okay, but that's a tefillah of an adult. He can't make the bracha beforehand. What about a tefillah of a ger katan? So who's going to do the tefillah? It's Beis Din. So when should they make the bracha? Should they make the bracha? So if Soloveitchik suggested perhaps they should make the bracha also after the tefillah. Because if Soloveitchik said that he interpreted, at least his interpretation of the Gemara Masechta Pesachim was, that the Gemara is telling us that this is a different type of birchas hamitzvah, or a different type of bracha. A birchas hamitzvah typically has to be Oivel Asiyasan. However, Soloveitchik said he didn't think that this was a birchas hamitzvah, perhaps what the Gemara Pesachim is implying, is that this is a bracha on a chalois, and a certain achievement of a certain status. So this is a bracha on the chalois geirus, that's why you make the bracha afterwards. So if that's the case, even when one is converting a ger katan, the bracha should be made afterwards, after the status has been achieved. So even when you're converting a ger katan, it should be al tefillas gerim should be made after the tefillah. Yeah.
But the ger katan, the Beis Din makes the bracha because it's their mitzvah, or because they're saying it on his behalf.
So the Sfidei Yesh says no one makes a bracha. Who says that there's a bracha? He's concerned with even if there is a mitzvah to make gerim, so you make the bracha on the tefillah. But the Gemara says also that higdil yichayim lipchais. When he gets older, he could reject the Yiddishkeit. So maybe it'll turn out to be a bracha levatala. So just al tzavik bracha. But you could have argued that maybe it's not, even if it is a mitzvah, perhaps it's not our mitzvah, that there's no bracha at all. However, the minig is like the Ravid, that the Ravid says that there is a bracha and Beis Din should make it over lasiyasan. Because there's a mitzvah on us to make Gerim. And typically the Gemara says in Pesachim, we can't make the bracha afterwards, beforehand by a typical Geris, because of Gavra Kati Lochazi, but here, it should be made over Lasi Yasin, like all Birch HaMitzvah, and the Beis Din should make the bracha of Al Tfilas Gerim. Yeah. The Gemara says in Masechtas Krisos that all of Hilchas Geiris and Daftes and Aleph, all of Hilchas Geiris is patterned after Maimon Har Sinai, as the Pasuk says in Parsha Shlach, Hukas Oilem Udler Sechem Kachem Kager. That Kachem Kager, the same process we endured, or we went through at the time of Maimon Har Sinai, that same experience, that's the experience that L'dor HaDoros will constitute the process of Geirus. So the Gemara says, Kachem Kavaisechem, just like you, so to them, Mavaisechem, Milu Tefillah V'Karban, just like our ancestors had Milu Tefillah and Karban, leading up to Maimon Har Sinai, so too Geirim as well should require Milu Tefillah and a karbon. The Gemara already asked, what about that's the tenuch b'zman shebeis hamikdash kayim, when there's a beis hamikdash and it's possible to bring a karbon? What about a time when there's not possible to bring a karbon? So pasuk continues l'doyrei seichem, that to be able to have gerim l'doyrei seichem for all generations. So the Gemara says at a time that when there's no karbon and there's no beis hamikdash, you can still have gerus without a karbon. So the implication of the Gemara seems to be that carbon is not miyakev. Tfila, mila, those are essential parts of geirus. Carbon, okay, if there's a base on mikdash, bring a carbon. If no base on mikdash, don't bring the carbon. However, the Avnei Nezer argues in his chuvis that that's not what the Gemara is saying at all. What the Gemara is saying is, if it's possible to bring a carbon, it's miyakev. If it's not possible to bring it, then it's not miyakev, because it's just not possible. And the Avnei Nezer claims that this is the source for Tosis Kama, the Masech Tzivam, Sadaf Memvavim, Ebeiz, that one of the critical, indispensable parts of geirus is the mila. What if it's nichras hagid? That part of the body has been amputated, been cut off. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes over here, Sif Aleph from Tosis, that if nichras hagid, ein milasa ma'keves milizgar v'sagilei b'tfila. Even though he's a male, it's enough if he just goes into the mikvah. He doesn't require a meal. He doesn't have a makom hamila. How did Tosis know that? How did Tosis know that if a person doesn't have that part of the body, it's not miyakev? Maybe I should say, since he doesn't have that part of the body, sorry, he can't become Jewish. So the Avnei Nezer says he derived, Tosis derived it from carbon. Carbon at the time the Beis HaMikdash is kind of is miyakev. Oh, but at the time there's no Beis HaMikdash, you can do without it. So too said Tosis extrapolated from that even though Mila is indispensable with regards to Geirus, that's only if it's possible. If it's not possible, then we'll no longer be miyakev. The Paiskim discussed the Shaila that actually came up in the United States and was sent to Europe in the late 1800s, early 1900s, about a hemophiliac who wanted to convert. The Shaila was sent to Rabbi Itzel Aponovitcher, as well as to many others. And someone traced it back and found that it was a certain an individual from St. Louis. I guess the town rav sent it to his rav. You can figure out where these things come from if you do enough research. Anyway, so can such a person convert? The problem is, if you're going to do the mila, he'll bleed out. It's a sakonis nefashis. He's a hemophiliac. So Rabbi Tendler used to mention that you can give hemophiliacs injection, which will cause the blood to clot for a certain period of time. You give them an injection of factor 5 or whatever factor they're missing, the clotting factors, and then you can perform the bris mila. But in the times of that this was being discussed, it was impossible. So can such a person convert? So Vitzel Lepanovich made the bold suggestion that perhaps just like Tosis said in Nichras Hagid that the mila is not miyakev, since it's not possible, so over here, mila is not possible for this individual. He's a hemophiliac, so therefore he can convert without mila. And Rav Pesach Frank, Reb Chaim Oizer, Sudi Ish, everyone else who dealt with this Shaila disagreed. They said, no, that's different. Nichras Hagid, it's physically impossible. There's no makom hamila. Okay, then it's not miyakev. There's no beis hamikdash. There's no makom for karbonos. It's not miyakev. Here there is a makom hamila, but it's dangerous for this individual to do it. That's not, you can't necessarily derive one from the other. It's not entirely similar. So therefore, they recommended this person just, you know, shouldn't become Jewish. You know, concentrate on being the best ben noyach that he could be. And not to become Jewish. However, what's fascinating or striking from the Gemara, Masechtas Krisis, if you just think about it for a minute, is the Gemara says, what are the three critical components of Geirus? Mila, Tfila, Karbon. Of course, the Karbon is critical at the time that it's possible to bring it. However, what is lacking, what is missing from the Gemara, is Kabbalas Ol Mitzvahs. The Gemara never mentions the fact that, by the way, you have to accept to do mitzvahs. What happened to the Kabbalas Ol Mitzvahs? Why is it not mentioned in the Gemara? So actually, the Gemara Masechtas, this might give us an important indicator about what Kabbalas Ol Mitzvahs is all about. The Gemara tells us in Masechtas Yevamis, when it's going through the process of Geirus, that if we initially discourage him, he says, Yodein Yivene Chedai, he says, I know about it, but I'm not worthy of joining Klal Yisrael. So then the Gemara says, and it's quoted here in Shulchan Aruch, says, Beis, Modiyamosa Ikre Hadas. We begin to tell him the basics of theology of Yiddishkeit, through Yichur Hashem, the Yisrael Vedis Kechavim. We tell him about Yichra Kadosh Baruch Hu and the Issa Rabbi Dezara. So the Mefarshim ask the Marsha and the Gemara, the Aruch Haner and the Gemara Masechta Zivamis, says, why do we tell him about the Issa Rabbi Dezara? That applies one of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. He has to do that when he's a non-Jew. So some suggest that perhaps it's talking about Shituf, worshipping a Kadosh Baruch Hu together with other gods. So that's permitted for Ben Noach, it's also for Yisrael. The Pasuk says, Al Tifnu Elilim. Shouldn't turn aside towards Elilim in the plural, even if it's a Kadosh Baruch Hu with another entity, that's still a problem for a Jew, that's perhaps not a problem for a non-Jew. Okay, fine, so we tell him an array of the mitzvahs, a survey of the mitzvahs, and then And then we would perform the Bris Milah. But the Gemara mentions right, the Gemara in the Shulchan Aruch over here in Siv Beis mentions right after the guy says Yodeni v'in Chadai, we tell him the history of us. Then we Modim Asa Mitzvahs Mitzvahs Kalas, we tell him about the the survey of mitzvahs. That's once. Then we do the Milah. Then the Shulchan Aruch tells us again in Siv Yud Beis. Okay, we test him out. What's his motivation? And then, as he's sitting in the mikvah, we tell him again about all of the mitzvahs. Again, while he's sitting in the mitzvahs, we tell him about all the mitzvahs. While he's sitting in the mikvah, we tell him about all the mitzvahs again. Why do we tell him about the mitzvahs again? Here it's once, and there we have it again. Why is it twice? So over there, also the Shulchan Aruch says that if we didn't tell him, the Shulchan Aruch Sif Yud Beis, Imloy Bod Kachar, according to the name of the Rambam, O Shaloy Haidiyu Schar Mitzvahs V'Yanshon. Let's say we didn't tell him. We didn't tell him about the mitzvahs. Umal V'Tova B'Fnei Gimel. He does Milan Tfila. Harei Zeger. He's a ger. So we didn't tell him about the survey of mitzvahs. Convert and he's a ger. What does that mean? We don't have to tell him about any of the mitzvahs. Does that mean Kabbalah so mitzvahs is not miyakev? So Piskei Tshuva over there quotes, says, I am betruvus chav de shalom. Piskei Tshuva is a cut and test. I would argue that is the most important marimakom in all of Hilchas Geirus. And the Piskei Tshuva just says, I am betruvus chav de shalom. What the chav de shalom says is an important yesod, which is echoed by many others. And that is that, yes, the formality of Kabbalah, of Modiyam Oso, Mitzvahs, Mitzvahs, Kalas, Mitzvahs, Mitzvahs, Kamuris, we tell them the survey of all the mitzvahs, that's not Miyakev. But the fact that the person has to intend to accept, to do Torah and mitzvahs, that's what all of Geirus is about. Of course that's integral, that's indispensable. It might not be integral and indispensable, it's perhaps even more than that, perhaps it's the whole context of what Geirus is all about. However, you can't have Geirus person doesn't intend to do the Torah mitzvahs, of course that's Miyakev. Rav Salvechik in the Kol Dodi Dofek, it's quoted in the footnote, quotes in the name of his father, that also like this Tshuva of the Chem de Shlomo, that yes, the formality, Rav Moshe also has an Igros Moshe, also interesting in the name of his father. I don't know how often Rav Moshe quotes his father, but here Rav Moshe quotes his father. Two things in Geirus, Rav Moshe quotes from his father. I don't remember seeing elsewhere in Rav Moshe. But anyway, Rav Moshe quotes from his father as well, that yes, the formality of Modim Asa Mitzvahs Mitzvahs Kalas Mitzvahs Mitzvahs Chamuros, that's not Miyakev, that's what the Shulchan Aruch means to say. However, the fact that the person intends to keep the Torah in the Mitzvahs, of course that's Miyakev. That is what Geirus is all about. Rav Sadigon makes the point in the Emunas Videos that we are, Yiddishkeit is a nationality, we have a homeland, but at the same time, we're not only a nationality like other nationalities, we're also an ideology. And what defines our nationality is not the homeland. What defines our nationality is our ideology. And our ideology is Torah and Mitzvah. So a person cannot convert having a mind to be Jewish if that Judaism doesn't entail Torah and Mitzvah. There is no such thing as Yiddishkeit without Torah and Mitzvah. It's not that I want to, live in a certain area and that defines me or identify with a certain, homeland. That makes me Jewish. What defines us is Klal Yisrael. Is the Torah and the mitzvahs. Rav Moshe makes a similar point to Igros Moshe with regards to the famous Medrash, it's quoted in Parsha Shmos, Medrash Rav and Parsha Shmos. The Kaisers was redeemed from Mitzrayim in the discuss of four things, three of which were Shloshinu Shema, Mabusham, Lashainim. They didn't change the language, the mode of dress, or their names. So Rav Moshe says these things are not critical. It's not usher for a person to take a sechior. Rav Moshe doesn't endorse it, but he says not usher for a person to, have a secular name or any of these things, but rather that's the reason why they were so critical is because before the Kabbalah Satira, that's what defined Klal Yisrael, which was L'shainam, Shmam, and Mabusham. It was typical things that, characteristics of a certain nationality. However, and that's why it was critical that Klal Yisrael maintained them in Mitzrayim. However, after Kabbalah Satira, that replaced all of the other qualifiers, identifying qualities of us as a nation. And what defines us as a nation now is our ideology. And therefore, of course, Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs has to be Miyakev. However, there seems to be, there's two ways of viewing this, and this seems to be a Machlekes HaRishonim. The Gemara tells in Masechtas Yevamis that a certain woman who thought she was Jewish, she was born a Jew, and then it turns out she wasn't Jewish. So Gemara says, of course, she must be Jewish now as well. Miloy Tavel Nidusa, even though she wasn't born a Jew, but didn't she go to Tefillah to the Mikvah for Nidus? So Tais is there, and the other Rishonim raised the issue, but there was no base then. Yeah, she probably went to mikvah for nidus. She's a shomer Torah and mitzvahs. However, where's the base then? So So Taisus raises that issue. So Taisus suggests that perhaps you don't need a basis, Taisus Shita. Perhaps you don't need a basin for the tefillah. When the Gemara said that you need a basin for Geirus based on the pasuk Mishpat Echid Yelochem, that just like Dine Mamanis requires three Dayanim, so to Geirus Mishpat Echad should be the same as Dine Mamanis, should require three Dayanim. That's talking about the Kabbalas HaMitzvos, because the essential part of Geirus is Kabbalas HaMitzvos. So according to Taisus, that's the most essential stage of Geirus, not Mila, not Tefillah, rather Kabbalas HaMitzvos. That's the most essential part of Geirus. However, the Rambam has a different shot in that Gemara. The Rambam understood, no, what the Gemara means to say is, Mila Tevla Nidusa, she must have had a proper Geirus in the past. But you do need a Bezin to observe, not only the Kabbalas HaMitzvos, they have to observe the Tefillah. But perhaps the Rambam is telling us something even more profound than what Taisus. Taisus said the main, the most essential part of Geirus is Kabbalas HaMitzvos. However, Salvechik claimed that what the Rambam is telling us is even something that's broader. And that is that Kabbalas HaMitzvos is not, a stage of Geirus at all. That is itself is the prerequisite, the context, the framework in which all of Geirus takes place. That is the definition of conversion, is Shmiras Teren Mitzvos, not having a mind to get into a pool and get wet, to performing circumcision. The definition of Geirus is Kabbalas HaMitzvos. That's what the Rambam feels. It's not a stage of Geirus. It's a prerequisite, it's a context, the framework of all of Geirus. Getting back, perhaps that's why the Gemara in Masechtas Krisus never mentions Kabbalas HaMitzvos. It's because the whole thing is patterned after Maimon Har Sinai, which is staring us in the face. The whole context, of course, has to be that of Kabbalas HaMitzvos. It goes without saying, because that's the very definition of what Geirus is all about. The perhaps, though, is a nafgamina lemaisa between Taisus and the Rambam, whether or not Kabbalas HaMitzvos is just the most essential stage of Geirus, or is the context prerequisite from which all of Geirus takes place. With regards to the shalos discussed by Darren Grosnas and the Leiv Arya, Rav Asher Weitz and the Nimchas Asher, Masech the Shavis, what about a cheresh converted, a person who's not chayiv in mitzvahs? Can he convert? So the Paiskim suggests that perhaps according to Taisvis, that Kabbalas HaMitzvos is the most essential part of Geirus, this person not chayiv in mitzvahs. He can't convert. There's no mitzvahs that he can be makabel to do. I guess the hemophiliac, it's just not, there's no mitzvahs for him to be makabel. So he can't be Magaya, tragically. However, according to the Rambam, there's not the Kabbalas HaMitzvos is a critical stage of Geirus, the most essential part of Geirus. It's the context, the framework in which Geirus takes place, and perhaps as long as the person says, I'm willing to accept whatever mitzvahs apply to me, or he comes, embracing the life of Yiddishkeit, even if there are no mitzvahs for him to grab onto, perhaps that Geirus could still take place. However, getting back, so if the person agrees, he wants to converse, we tell him a survey of all the mitzvahs, modim, some mitzvahs, mitzvahs kaos, mitzvahs, mitzvahs kamuros, some of the stringent ones, some of the more difficult ones, some of the easier ones, some of the harder ones. By the way, why do we tell, parenthetically, it's a beautiful idea, why do we tell him the easy mitzvahs? Why don't we just tell him the hard ones? Why the easy ones? So Bali Musa say, because sometimes the hard ones are the ones, people get ready for, They come once in a while. Oh, Pesach, we'll have to get through it. The easy ones that come every day, in a certain sense, it's harder. But the guy said, you're regulating and legislating my whole life over here. Not only 8 days. I could get through 8 days, no chametz. Now you're telling me how to tie my shoes, and all this, how to wash my hands. Oh, so that already is perhaps even more onerous, perhaps even more scary, is the kallus. Okay, fine. Beautiful Musar idea. But the Paiskim say that survey of all the mitzvahs informing him, that's a formality. That's not miyakev. It is miyakev that he accepted to do the mitzvahs, but it's not miyakev the formality of informing him about all the mitzvahs. But 1 minute, let's just take a step back. If he doesn't know, let's say then we could have conceivably a guy who converts who doesn't know any of the mitzvahs. No one ever told him anything, right? Mila, tefillah. He was never informed of the mitzvahs. Do we really have a reasonable expectation he's going to keep the mitzvahs if he doesn't know what they are? We just finished saying the survey of the mitzvahs, that, informing him, that's a formality. So that means a guy can convert conceivably without knowing any of the mitzvahs. Do we really reasonably expect him to perform the Torah and the mitzvahs? So one of the former chief rabbis of Eretz Yisrael, Rav Benzion Uziel, writes in his Piskei Uziel, no, of course not. How can we reasonably expect him to keep the mitzvahs? And it's not necessary for a person, for us to reasonably expect that he'll keep the mitzvahs. That's not necessary. Guy says he's going to do it. Okay, that's fine. That's enough. Even though he doesn't know what they... He said, it must be! He doesn't even know what they are! Or simply, the Gemara tells him, Sef L'Shavs, Daf Samaches, the Gemara is discussing about how, at the beginning of Paraklav Gadol, how many karbonos a person has to bring if he didn't know about Shabbos. So if he didn't know about Shabbos, what if he knew about Shabbos, he didn't know about one malacha. So how many karbonos, chatos, does a person have to bring? Very complicated sugyas. So Gemara says, let's say a person doesn't know about Shabbos. How many karbanos does he have to bring? So Gemara says, what? How is it there a Jew who doesn't know about Shabbos? So Gemara says, no, easy. Either Tinok Shenishba Ben Anachrim, a guy grew up without a proper Jewish education, or Gershon is Geyer Ben Anachrim. He converted amongst Nachrim. Taisa says, how can he convert amongst Nachrim? Where's the Beis Din? You can't convert without a Beis Din. It's integral. Essential. So he says, no, there was a Beis Din. They informed him of the mitzvahs. They forgot Shabbos. So they find it very difficult to assume. There was a Beis Din there. They gave him a survey of the mitzvahs, and they forgot to tell him about Shabbos? What did they tell him about already? So the Ramban and the other Rishayim, the Ritva and Akamara, say, no, there was a Beis Din, but there was no Hodas mitzvahs. Like we just finished saying, the formality of informing him about the survey of all the mitzvahs is not Miyakev. And they didn't tell him about the mitzvahs. They converted him in front of them, in their presence, but there were no Hodas HaMitzvahs. So, Uziel asks, the guy doesn't know anything without an educator. You expect him to keep the mitzvahs? How can you reasonably expect him to keep the mitzvahs? Obviously, it's not part of Kabbalah's whole mitzvahs that we reasonably expect you're going to do it. You don't have to be reasonably expecting you're going to do it.
What is Kabbalah's whole mitzvahs?
Accepting to do the mitzvahs. So we ask him, do you accept to do the mitzvahs? Yes. Do you know any of them? No. So can we really expect him to keep the mitzvahs? So Uziel says, well, if the formality of informing about the mitzvahs is not miyakev, that means the guy knows nothing, right? Does that mean he doesn't actually have to do them? Or does it have to be at the time of the gerush? We reasonably expect he's going to do it. So he says, don't you see from these gemaras? Of course it can't be a reasonable expectation he's going to do it. He doesn't even know about them. So Moshe and Igros Moshe asked the very same question. The conclusion of Rav Uziel is obviously unacceptable. Rav Moshe, obvious to us, not obvious to others, but Rav Moshe and Igros Moshe asks the very same question, gives a different resolution. Rav Moshe says, no, what Kabbalah's whole mitzvah is about is that the person says, I will accept to do whatever the mitzvahs are when I find out about them. Of course, he can't walk out of the milah, the tefillah, if he doesn't know about any of the mitzvahs and keep them right away. But when he will find out about them, that he will keep them, and we have to have the expectation at the time of the gerus that the person means that there's a reasonable expectation that he will do that when he finds out about them, that he will actually keep the mitzvahs. Rabbi Tendler used to compare this to a person who signs up for the army, that they don't tell you everything that you're going to do in your tour of duty. They don't even know what section of the army you're going to end up in when you enlist. But if you don't do it, you could be court-martialed. So it's the same thing over here. When a person signs up for Yiddishkeit, he's saying, I will do it. There's no way he's going to know all 613 mitzvahs anyway. We're telling him about a survey. Then the guy has to go, Zil Gemar. He has to go learn a lot more. So, but there is an expectation is when he finds out about them, that he will keep them. No, we're not Lubavitch, but, Tzivos Hashem, in the army of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yeah.
And if he's going through the halacha and he finds there's something and he's like, oh, if I had known that, I wouldn't have converted?
Buyer's remorse. That's okay, but at least at the time that he converted, we reasonably expected him to, keep, the majority of the mitzvahs, or all of the mitzvahs, when he finds out about what they are. The reasonable expectation is that he's going to keep them. That has to be the assumption. Otherwise, there's no Kabbalah's whole mitzvahs. And Gemara says in Maseches Becheres in Daf Lamed Amud Beis that a person who accepts to do all of the mitzvahs chutz midavar echad, even if it's only midrabbanon, there's one mitzvah that he just can't accept to do. So that's not a Kabbalah's whole mitzvahs. That's no good. Even if it's midivrei seifrim. I knew a guy. He was a Jewish guy already, but he. This is not Soim Gedalia. I don't know what it was about Soim Gedalia. It came right after Rosh Hashanah. I was like, it's coming right after Rosh Hashanah. Like, these are the 10 days. It's easy, dude. But who's Gedalia? Why should I fast for him? He did not like Soim Gedalia. Emes. Anyway, what are you going to do? Okay. So, but let's say you have a gear. Everything, but I don't know who this Gedalia guy, Gedalia ben Achika, why do I have to fast for him? Say, day after Rosh Hashanah, what a pain. Give me a week break before Yom Kippur. Such a person, the Geirus, is no good. That undoes the entire Geirus. However, Reb Chaim Oizer has an important question he deals with, as many of the Mepharshim do, and that is, let's say, every Geir, we're going to ask the guy, do you expect never to speak Lashon Hara? So if the guy's honest, he's going to say, no, I'm sure I will at some point speak Lashon Hara, if he understands what Lashon Hara is. So how is any Geirus good? Can't we expect the guy, we know he's going to probably speak Lashon Hara. So Reb Chaim Oizer says, no, there's a big difference between a person who accepts to do something and someone who is nichshal, who gives into the temptation to do it. He says, if a guy doesn't accept fundamentally, principle, to do one of the mitzvahs, who's this Gedalia ben Achikam and why should I fast for him? So then that is, that then your Kabbalah's whole mitzvah is lacking and that's no good, it's insufficient. However, if a person says, no, I accept not to speak Lashon Hara, but unfortunately, sometimes the taiva to speak Lashon Hara is so geschmack, you know, I might give in. So then, that is fundamentally a Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs. Rav Moshe had a similar tshuva about a woman who converted, and then she went to work on Yom Tov Sheni, because she had some big conference that she had to attend. So she came to Rav Moshe that she was afraid that that undid her Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs. So Rav Moshe said, no, come, you know, consoled her, no, your Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs was valid. You gave in to a Nisayan, you know, going to work on Yom Tov Sheni. She gave in, but fundamentally she accepted to do it, and therefore her Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs is in fact intact. However, Reb Chaim Leizer is quick to point out, as does Reb David Tzvi Hoffman, who really spells this a little bit more, you know, articulates this a little bit more in his Malam Lahoyo, that there's a line in the sand. You know, a guy can't say every Shabbos, I would love to keep Shabbos, but what can I do? The golf course is calling me. You know, that's too much. Or we would love to go to the mikveh, it just never works out with our schedule, so we don't keep Taras Mishpach. You know, at a certain point, there has to come a lot, you know, a point where we say, look, you know, at a certain point, you really obviously don't accept to do this fundamentally or in principle either. And they drew the line at those things that they viewed as essential to daily Jewish living, which is Kashrus, Shabbos, Taras Mishpach. Those identify a person as a Jew in our circles. And if a person can't, you know, even manage to do this, you know, most of the time, then that's not good enough. That's not a Kabbalah Sol Mitzvah. But a person who nichshal, he gives in to the taiva, so then he fundamentally accepts to do it, even though he's...
Does the standard of mitzvah matter?
What mitzvah it is?
Yeah.
Perhaps.
A person has to have to keep all mitzvahs.
Yes.
But Shabbos, Kashrus, and Taras, Mishpacha are
non-negotiable. Meaning, it's not good enough to say, I fundamentally accept Lashon Hara. Well, every time it comes up, it's so tempting. So if that happens, so maybe we can accept that. But a person who says, this Shabbos thing just, you know, doesn't work out, or even if it's even not every time, even if it's, you know, those kinds of things are non-negotiable. You know,
so a person has to. A person can't even say, I anticipate slipping once in a while with those
areas. Ramesh has a tshuva, Sheni, and he says that that's okay, you know, to the woman who did it once. I don't know if a person who's Michal Shabbos, you know, who texts once on Shabbos, we're going to say, sorry, your Geirus is no good. But he has to fundamentally accept to do it, and it can't happen, you know, regularly, then at some point we just say, look, you know, you obviously didn't accept to do this, and these things are kind of non-negotiable. Even in terms of a lack of adherence, not just lack of acceptance, but lack of adherence is more critical than even
you
acceptance.
You can't do a retroactive.
So then
we'll get to it in a second, yeah.
This is a basis that if a person does not, we use these two categories as rammers or as a way.
These things is not good enough to accept. It's not good. If you don't accept Tzom Gedalia, the whole thing is on them. But even if you accept Lashon Hara, even if you don't adhere to it, okay. But here, if the guy doesn't adhere, then the...
We'll get to the same.
Okay. However, let's say a guy comes, which is the most of the common scenarios. He says, yes, Rabbi, I accept to do whatever you'll tell me. Can we take him at his word? So we take people at their word. What are we going to do? Reb Chaim Leizer writes in the Achiezer that the dvarim shebelev ainam dvarim. That if a person thinks when he sells a property that he's only selling it because he has a mind to go to Eretz Yisrael, if his plans fall through, it's too bad. The sale is binding, even though he only sold it because he had a mind to move. But he didn't articulate that, stipulate that at the time of the sale, and even though that's what he had in mind, dvarim shebelev ainam dvarim. So Reb Chaim Leizer says the guy accepts to do it, but we don't know what he has in his heart, and so what can we do? Dvarim shebelev enem dvarim. So Chaim Leizer first, you know, takes a step back and says, "One minute, maybe that's only by a sale where we say dvarim shebelev enem dvarim because there's a shtar, there's a kinyan kesef, there's things that are in action other than the dvarim shebelev. But a geirus is all belev. So maybe when it comes to geirus, we should say dvarim shebelev haven dvarim, and the dvarim makes a similar suggestion. In which case, even if the person has reservations in their mind that they don't intend to keep the Torah and the mitzvahs, that already undoes the geirus." That's a high bar. But Reb Chaim Leizer backs down a little bit from that, that the Dvarim Shebelev Einam Dvarim with regards to Geirus as well. However, Reb Chaim Leizer and Reb Moshe both make the point, what if it's Dvarim Shebelev Ovelev Kol Adam? So the Gemara says if there's an Umdana Demuchach, meaning everybody could tell based on circumstantial evidence that the guy's only selling his house because he has a mind to move to Eretz Israel, and you know if he could stipulate or he would stipulate, you know, he maybe forgot to stipulate, but it's so obvious that that's why he's selling it, or you know, certain other transactions where there's dvar, you know, a person buys a car, even though he doesn't stipulate that it has an engine. It's obvious when you buy a car, you intend for there to be an engine. You don't have to articulate that. It's dvar mishabalev, lev kol adam. Everybody knows when they buy a car, they expect it to run. So, you know, not to serve as a clubhouse. So then that's obvious. It doesn't need to be stated. So too, Rav Moshe has, I think Rav Moshe quotes here from his father, that if it's obvious that a person is not going to keep the Torah and the mitzvahs, so then even if that's what he says, doesn't matter. We need a reasonable expectation at the time the person converted is actually going to do the mitzvahs. And here we can't reasonably expect him. We can't reasonably expect him to do the mitzvahs. Not like Rav Uziel. So therefore, one of the examples Rav Moshe has is: let's say a person's converting to marry a Jewish spouse, and the Jewish spouse themselves is not shomer Torah and mitzvahs, but they want an Orthodox conversion. In order to get an Orthodox conversion, they have to go to an Orthodox rabbi. He's going to ask them, are you going to keep the Torah and the mitzvahs? Yes, yes, Rabbi, we'll keep the Torah and the mitzvahs. Really? But the Jewish spouse, you know, goes to treif restaurants. You're not going to go with him when he goes? Well, you are. Of course they're going to go. How are they? The odds that the geiris is going to be more frum than the JFB, the Jewish from birth. It's not likely. Highly unlikely. It's almost an umdun of the muchach, and it's not going to happen. So Ramayit says, in such a situation, if the person who they're converting to marry is not shomer Torah and mitzvahs, how can we assume that they, even if they say it, that they mean it? It's not possible. Umdun of the muchach. Well, let's say, I think I was supposed to give the example in the past about an opera singer. That's her parnasa. The guy's a veterinarian. His whole life is sirus. So is it possible for him to even say, I'm going to keep the Torah and the mitzvahs, when your whole livelihood comes about through performing? Perhaps it could arguably be called an Isser. So therefore, these kinds of situations, it can't be assumed that the person is going to keep Torah and mitzvahs in that situation, and then your kabbalah mitzvahs itself is undermined, is invalidated. I'm not getting involved in the details of particular situations, but if a person's whole livelihood is based on performing Yisurim, then it's kind of hard to assume that he means his Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs. Or let's say, I don't know when this was, but YU Torah has a feature, you can submit a question to the author. I never answer those questions, but they have such a feature. The first time I got that was like over five years ago, and someone listened to one of these shiurim, a woman from New Zealand who was converting, and she said that the Beis Din in Auckland made her move to Auckland in order to convert. She lived in some remote part of New Zealand, and they were making her move to Auckland, which is where the Jewish community is. Do I think that that's reasonable? She thought that was ridiculous. So I said, no, of course it's reasonable. Every Beis Din in the world, it was the first and last time I ever answered one of these questions. Of course, and I don't know why she was asking me of all places, but of course it's reasonable. Every Beis Din in America, throughout the world, will demand that you live in a Jewish community. A guy is living in a remote part of the Himalayas. I'm going to convert, really. Where are you getting kosher food from? Where are you going to shul? Who's laning for you? Where are you getting tefillin? Well, you can't live in that kind of, in isolation. So of course a person has to be part of a Jewish community. If he's not going to be part of a Jewish community, it's not likely to assume that he's going to keep the Torah in the mitzvahs. There was a Reb Unterman writes in his Chuvus in the Shevet Miyehuda that a person who lives in a non-religious community in Eretz Yisrael, a Russian Jew, he says, yeah, Rabbi, I'm going to keep the Torah in the mitzvahs. I'll become a vegetarian. I'll have my own pots and pans. I won't go out to eat with anybody, socialize with anybody who lives in my community. It's just unreasonable. There's no way the person means what they said when they say that they're going to keep Torah mitzvahs. In such a situation, be called an umdin and the muchach. It was dvarim shebelib of leiv kol adam, that they don't mean their kabbalas all mitzvahs. So it has to be a reasonable assumption the person is going to keep the Torah and the mitzvahs. Because of that, the Gemara tells us in Masechtas Yevamos, and it's quoted over here in Shulchan Aruch Sif Yud Beis, which you mentioned already, when a person comes to convert, we check what their motivations are. Why do we check what their motivations are? Because we're afraid that their Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs will be compromised by this other motivation that's motivating them for Geirus. The problem is, so really the Gemara says, the Gemara discusses what's known as Hanitan al Hashifka, a person who's suspected of having a relationship with a non-Jewish woman, and the non-Jewish woman comes for conversion. That we Lechatchigo should not accept such a ger. She's only converting in order to marry the man. She doesn't mean it when she's makabel to do the mitzvahs. So the Gemara says, her kabbalah sol mitzvahs is suspect, because she's only doing it for the other motivation of marrying the Jewish man. However, the Taisus asked Akash of Megumar Masech the Shabbos with Hillel and the Ger, and the guy was standing outside the Beis HaMedrash, the guy, and he heard them discussing the elaborate begadim of the Kohen Gadol, and he came in and he asked who gets to wear these begadim, and they told him the Kohen Gadol. So the guy said, Geirani Menashe, yeah, Kohen Gadol. Convert me, I'm Menashe, to become the Kohen Gadol. So Hillel converted him. And then the guy went to learn. He came upon the pasuk Hazar HaKor of Yumas, that even David Melch Yisrael can't wear the Big Day Kahuna because he's a Yisrael, not a Kain. And he derived from there that he who is a Ger certainly would not be able to wear the Big Day Kahuna, but nonetheless, you know, that dream was shattered, but he went on being a firm Jew. Fine. So Taisa says, how is he able to convert? How is Hillel able to convert him? Because I was only converting. I'm an Ashiyeh, Kohen Gadol. It's for an ulterior motive. So Taisus there writes, you're right, but it's a kol fi ra'ayis enei adayin. The adayin has a certain leeway in terms of assessing people's motivations to determine, even if they are motivated by something else, maybe in the end they'll be sincere. And the Shach over here quotes this, in Sivka and Chav Gimel, that the dayanim have a certain latitude in terms of negotiating or figuring out, discerning, investigating people's true motivations for gerus. And even if there's something else that's motivating them, but if we can determine that there'll be a frum Jew at the end, then we can accept them. And this comes up always in Eretz Yisrael, where there's you know, fringe benefits to being Jewish. Or, you know, there aren't too many times in our history where this has come up. You know, in the times of Mordechai v'Esther, and other times it was beneficial to be a Jew. But that what is supposed to say in the Megillah? Rabbi Me'ame Haaretz Misya Hadin. Many converted. So Tosfos also asks, how did they convert at that point in time? It was beneficial to be a Jew. So whenever it's beneficial to be a Jew, the time of David HaMelech, Shlomo HaMelech, so we Chathilo should not accept converts when it's beneficial for them. But there is Hakol Lefi Ra'ayis Enei Adayin. The Dayanim do have a certain amount of leeway.
Today it's pretty beneficial to be a Jew, though.
How so?
Jews are in the upper echelons of most elements of American society.
Okay.
No.
Okay. You're saying it gives you a network.
Yeah, to be part of a Jewish community, an Orthodox community, means that you have a tremendous amount of financial abilities that you wouldn't have had otherwise necessarily.
It's not the first time more financial.
I don't want to debate that issue, but all right, okay.
Oh yeah, except for tuition. Fine. Yeah. So send your kids to public school.
But Chaim Moser points out, let's say they would be married already. Let's say they say, you know, a guy comes, he's married in a secular marriage to a non-Jewish woman. And then they have a renaissance, you know, religiously, and they want to convert. So, yes, she is converting to stay married to him, you know, because they've had this religious renaissance. But they were married already, you know. So then there is no motivation. They could remain married in the same status they are now. So and then obviously that's not a motivation, even though it is beneficial somewhat. That's not what's motivating her. For Geiris, of course, that's not included in this discussion. But Chathila, we shouldn't accept Geirim who are coming for some ulterior motive. And of course, there is latitude that's given to Dayanim, just like Hillel, who assessed that the Geir probably would ultimately end up keeping Torah and Mitzvahs. However, Rav Goren has an interesting suggestion. Rav Goren, of course, who was the late chief rabbi of Eretz Yisrael, suggested with regards to a celebrated case, we don't have to get involved in the details of it now, that perhaps this rule that we don't accept Geirim when it's beneficial for them to be Jewish, only exists in Chutz Laaretz, never in Eretz Yisrael. He observes that throughout Talmud Bavel we have numerous times the phrase Kashim Gerim Yisrael Kesapachas. The Gerim are difficult and Kai Yisrael Kesapachas. And Taisus quotes one explanation because that they don't keep the Torah and the Mitzvahs properly. The Kabbalah on Mitzvahs is lacking. So the Rabbi Goren says we never find that phrase in the Talmud Yushalmi. Why? So he suggests because everyone in Eretz Yisrael keeps the Torah and the Mitzvahs properly. So it's not Kashim Gerim with Yisrael, Kesapachas in Eretz Yisrael. Everyone in Eretz Yisrael. How could you live in Eretz Yisrael and not keep the Torah and the Mitzvahs? So he says, must be everyone in Eretz Yisrael who's converting ultimately will keep the Torah and the Mitzvahs. Because how could you not keep Torah and Mitzvahs and live in Eretz Yisrael? So Rabbi Bleich argues with Rabbi Goren, I mean, you don't have to be Rabbi Bleich, but he just has a, you know, a pointed criticism that he thinks he's confusing nationality with ideology in that distinction that we made before. That just because they live in Eretz Yisrael doesn't necessarily mean that they're keeping the Torah of the mitzvahs. And there certainly are, unfortunately, l'davonenu, many Jews in Eretz Yisrael who do not probably keep the Torah of the mitzvahs, so people who are JFBs or people who later converted, and therefore this kind of assumption that people in Eretz Yisrael ultimately will end up being lishma, keeping the Torah and the Mitzvahs in the end, clearly is suspicious. Anyway, the Gemara says we shouldn't accept the person who's converting for an ulterior motive, but at the end, if we did convert him, the Gemara quotes in the name of Rabbi Nechemiah, Kulam Geirim Heim. The Geirus is valid, b'di'evin. So Chedusha Ritva explains, why is the Geirus valid, b'di'evin? So Ritva explains, because Agav Umsayu Gamar V'Kibel. The person, by living in the Jewish community, is going to be forced, compelled to keep the Torah and the Mitzvahs. How can you live in a Jewish community and not keep the Torah and the Mitzvahs? So, Some have raised the issue, Rabbi Herzog and his Heichel Yitzchak, as well as the Dvar Avram, that might have been true in certain times, you know, the times of the isolated community, which had wielded a certain amount of authority over its citizens. But in our, you know, maybe, and that might be true in certain pockets of Jewish, society. You know, if you live in New Square or Monroe, maybe that's the case. I don't know. But that might be the case. Agavun Sayu Gamer V'Kibel. But in our communities, that's not necessarily the case. You can live very well in a Jewish community, not properly keeping to the standards of Torah and mitzvahs. So whether this assumption is true in our time, we're afraid to question, but perhaps not. But that was the assumption of the Gemara, was that Agavun Sayu Gamer V'Kibel, since the dint of a person living in a Jewish community, he's going to be compelled to keep the Torah and the mitzvahs, which is another reason why many Batei Din insist that if a person who's a candidate for conversion has to live within a Jewish community, because many times you have that they're not motivated by ulterior motives, but many of our Gerim are motivated by ulterior motives, either for marriage or for other reasons, and therefore it's an essential requirement that they live within a Jewish community. Even though the Geirus is valid, but the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch right over here, Sif Yud Beis, we follow him and check on his status until we determine whether or not he's righteous and sincere in terms of keeping the mitzvahs. That implies, if the person is not, up to the standards we would expect, that the geirus is no good. Otherwise, why would you bother checking after him? However, then the Shulchan Aruch continues. Very next line. The Shulchan Aruch says, Achet Tzbarat Tzikuso, Vafilu Chazev Avid Elilim, even if he goes back and he worships the Zera, Yisrael Mumar Shekidush of Kiddushin. He's a Jew. Yisrael Shechata, Afabi Shechata, Yisrael. Well, then why do we bother checking after him? Sounds like the Geirus is going to be no good if he's not living up to our standards. But over here, the Shulchan Aruch continues and says, no, even if he goes back to worshiping Avodah Zarah, so the Geirus sticks. So many explain, Rabbi Gora and Rabbi Moshe, that there's a difference in time, there's a time differential here. Yes, Koshin Lachit Hizbar Sekuso, in the immediate reaction to the Geirus, we follow him, have periodic checkups, which all but they didn't do. For a certain period of time, after the Geirus, they check up on the person, make sure that they're living up to the standards of Torah and Mitzvahs. But if, let's say, later on, beyond that trial period, the person, goes back to worshiping Avodah Zarah, that's what the Shulchan Aruch means, and the Rambam means that he's Yisrael Shechata, Afapi Shechata Yisrael. How long is this window? So that's difficult to determine. Different people have different standards. Some have suggested 30 days. If within 30 days, a person's already, let's say a guy, Rabbi Tenlo used to give the example, a guy celebrates his Geirus in the Red Lobster. So obviously, then the Geirus was meaningless. Or he goes right out to celebrate with his family. Come, all my non-Jewish family, let's go celebrate at McDonald's. Then there's a problem here. Obviously the Geirus is no good. But even beyond that, one can assume that if the person is no longer keeping up to the standards, then the Geirus was insincere. But a long time after, so then if the person kept it up for a while, so then it's at that point the Geirus, is indelible, and it would be Yisrael Shechata, Af B'Shechata Yisrael Hu.
Is there any time that L'chol Deus would be good? He would be considered Jewish? A year, 2 years, 5 years?
I would assume that there is. Different people, different standards. It's very hard to find this formalized in terms of standards in this. This is a big issue. The situation received a lot of attention in 1973, which the situation known as the brother and the sister, Ha'ach V'Achot, about a woman named Chava Langer, who was a Russian immigrant to Eretz Israel, and she married a man named Langer. But in Russia, she had been married to a man who was a ger named Borkovsky. And when she left, and everyone agrees he converted, and at some point left the path of Torah and Mitzvahs. And she never received a get. So when she came to Eretz Israel, she married a man named Langer, had a son and a daughter who registered for the army, and the army apparently does certain checks into the family history. And they discovered that she never received a get from this man, Borkovsky, in Russia, and perhaps these two children are mamzerim. And it received a lot of attention, became a crisis of national proportions. The prime minister, Golda Meir, at the time was involved, and it was a public relations nightmare. So the head of the Rabbanut at that time was Rebbe Yashiv, and he ruled that the children were mamzerim. The chief rabbi of the army was Rebbe Gorin, and Rebbe Gorin ruled that the children, everyone went back to Russia and did research. Some claim that he ditched Torah and mitzvahs, you know, pretty quickly, and therefore that was Rabbi Gorin's claim, and therefore the guy was never Jewish. The Geirus was undone l'mafreya. Rabbi Yashiv felt that there was enough indication that he kept it up for long enough that the Geirus cannot be undone l'mafreya, and the children were mamzerim. And Rabbi Gorin felt that we could undo the Geirus l'mafreya. The guy gave it up right away, or pretty much right away, and he never meant it, and therefore the children were not mamzerim. Right after that, Rabbi Rakefet has a whole shiur. It goes through all of the evidence in gory detail if this interests you beyond that. Right after that, P.S., Rabbi Golda Meir was extremely grateful to Rabbi Gorin. He ended up becoming the chief rabbi in 1973, and Rabbi Yashiv left the Rabbanut in protest. And that was his last time being associated with Rabbanut, was in 1973. Anyway, so it was a pivotal case in terms of the history of Rabbanus in Eretz Yisrael. Yeah.
Can you ask this Mummer, whatever you want to call him, when he stopped keeping Mitzvot?
I don't know if he was alive anymore, even.
I'm saying if it will
lame,
but if it happens again.
You can. Why would you assume they respond honestly?
You say you can or you can't?
Maybe you can. I'm sure that could be part of the dossier, but there have to be other things too. Ironically, in our times, it's the Talmidim of Rev Eliashiv who were undoing Geirus because they felt that the standards of Geirus were not sufficient. That they were the ones who were undoing the Geirus up north. And it was the more of the adherents, the followers of the Rabbanut, who were the ones who were substantiating the Geirus, and they're claiming that we cannot be undone l'mafreya. So sometimes, tables turn on these issues. But of course, kol lefi ra'os einei adayin. The Gemara says over there that a person, of course, we shouldn't accept a convert as coming for an ulterior motive. If they did convert, then the Geirus is good. B'di'eved. However, the Gemara goes on to say, the Geirus is good b'di'eved, but we should not allow this couple to marry. Which is a further iser. Not only should we not accept the person who's converting for an ulterior motive, but even if we did, kulam geirim heim kazagavim tzagavim v'kivim, there's going to be so much communal pressure, social pressure, they're going to have to keep the Torah and the mitzvahs. They're going to be coerced to do it just by social pressure. Nonetheless, we shouldn't allow them to marry. Why shouldn't you allow them to marry? So Rashi says, because lazus fasayim. What are people going to say? They're going to say, you person only converted in order to marry this Jewish guy. They must have had a relationship, but she wasn't Jewish. You'll be confirming the rumor. And you're not supposed to confirm a rumor of an Avera. The Gemara says in Masechtas Yuma that a person is not supposed to be Mefarsim his Chatoim. The Gemara says, Ashrei Nosei Pesha Kisrei Chato. That you're supposed to pasuk until to say for Tehillim. You're supposed to cover over your sins. The Gemara also says, pasuk also says, Mishlei Mechasa Psov Lo Yatzliach. Person covers over his sins, he won't be successful. You should have full disclosure. The Gemara says, yeah, if it's in public, come clean right away. Don't have a cover-up. If it's in private, there's no need to publicize private averus. Good advice for people in public office. Anyway, but you're not supposed to publicize averus, so therefore there's an Easter of Lazarus Fasayim to confirm the rumor. What if, Rabbi Chaim Eizer discusses, what if everybody knows they were living together? So the rumor has been confirmed numerous times already. Oh, so then perhaps this Easter wouldn't apply, and there's room to be lenient if they were already living together. At the same time, we don't want it to be shehei chayte niskar. For you know, people are going to start advising couples where one of them is not Jewish and she wants to convert in order to marry him. Start living together already. That way, there's no Easter nitan ala shifcha. So that's of course we have to be careful about that. Reb Chaim Eizer goes on to quote from Shlomo Kluger that. And the Shuvas Tuv Tam V'Das, that if if the couple is living together already, then there's no Issa Nitana of Shifcha. But even if they're not living together already, if we're afraid that they're going to start living together as a Nachri, I mean, she'll say, look, if you don't convert me and allow me to marry this guy, then we're just going to live together anyway. So then, Reb Chaim Eizer quotes from the Tshuva of Shlomo Kluger, and ultimately from the Tshuva of the Rambam, that even though normally we don't say Chatei b'shvil shetiske chavercha, here we would allow the Beis Din to do the little Iser of allowing this couple to remarry and converting her in order to marry him, assuming she's going to be sincere in her Torah and mitzvahs, Kabbalah and mitzvahs. We'll do a little Iser of converting her for Nitan al Hashivcha in order to save them from the bigger Iser of living with a non-Jewish woman. Reb Chaim Eizer, though, is quick to make the point. Of course, if they're making this threat to the Dayanim, we're going to convert anyway and live together in sin, we have to question her kabbalah so mitzvahs after she converts. You know, if you were thinking about doing that, but if we can determine she'll be sincere, then that's then we can do that. Even though typically we don't give in to extortion. Or Chaim Moshe says, if a person says, convert me, or I'm going to go to the Reform Basin or the Conservative Basin. We say, if you're interested in going to the Conservative Basin or Reform Basin, please go. You know, that has nothing to do with us. We're not going to compromise our standards. We're not going to be extorted, to compromise our standards. But over here, in this situation only, where they say, if you don't convert me and allow me to marry him, I'm going to, we're going to live together in sin. We would allow us to do a little Yisod or Rabbanon of Nitin al Shivcha to save them from the Yisod Deraisa of living together with another. After a person says, getting all the way back to where we started, a person says he wants to come for Geirus, we discourage him, says, we told him our survey of the mitzvahs right away, so then Malon Osebiyat, he accepts to do the mitzvahs, we do the Mila right away, we wait for the person to Mila to heal, and then we do the Tefila. So Tosfos writes that it's, or observes, that it sounds like from here that the Mila has to precede the Tefila, and the Seder is Miyakev. The Ramah quotes this over here in Sif Aleph. Then the Ramah quotes from the Ramban, who disagrees that the Seder is not Miyakev, you can do the Tefillah before the Mila, and he has a raya from the Gemara's case of Me'uberish in his Gaira. The Gemara says, if you have a pregnant woman who wants to convert, so B'noyin Atzarech Tefillah. Her son, when he's born, doesn't require Tefillah's Gairus because he was Yaitse with the Tefillah of the mother. So how can he be Yaitse with the Tefillah of the mother? When are you going to do the Mila's Gairus? After he's born. So Nimsa, that the Tefillah is happening before the Mila. So Ramban says, you see over here that from this case of Muberish and Iskara, that the Tefillah, that the Seder is not Miyakev. And this is the two opinions over here in the Ramah. The Tosis and then Mukha Yosef and the Ra'ah disagree with the Ramban, and they have different interpretation of the Gemara, Muberish and Iskara. The reason why Benoyin and Tzarech Tefillah is because Kol Zman, that the baby isn't born yet, that's well considered a limb of the mother, and the baby converts entirely with Tefillah alone. It's like a woman, like an Akeva, who doesn't require Mila, so to this baby doesn't require Mila. When the child will subsequently be born and require Mila, that won't be a Mila's Geirus, that'll be a Mila's Yahadus. Like every Jewish baby who's born, who requires Mila on the eighth day, according to the Ramban, the difference will be, according to the Ramban, the Mila doesn't have to be on the eighth day, it could be on day one. A Geir Katan, you could do Mila before 8 days. According to the Tosfos, it's a Mila's Yahadus, and therefore the Mila would have to be on the eighth day. The Ramban disagrees with Tosfos. If that's the case, why don't the Gemara say, Muverish and Isgaira, Bita ain't a Tzarech Tefillah, because it has the status of an Akeva, not a son. The answer is, because it's a male child, so we're going to call it Bina. But that was the Machlekes, Tosfos, and the Ramban.
What was the Ramban response?
That it should have said, Muverish and Isgaira, the Gemara says, Bina ain't a Tzarech Tefillah. So the Ramban says, you're saying that it has the status of an Akeva, it should have said, Bita ain't a Tzarech Tefillah. I'm saying it's because it's ultimately going to be a male child, so we didn't want to say that.
Right.
But that's what the Ramban is saying. If you're saying it has a status in the cave, the Gemara should have said that. This is not only a machlekes with regards to whether or not the Seder is Miyakev, or whether the Mila of a Muberish and Isgara, the child of a Muberish and Isgara requires Mila on the eighth day, or Mila on the, can even have Mila right away, before 8 days. But Itzel Lapanovich writes in the Zecher Yitzchak, and Rabbi Yosef Engel, the Goyane Ashas, that perhaps this represents a more fundamental machlekes as to how to understand the role of Mila in Geirus. Tefila, is obviously a critical part of the Geirus, but what is the status of Mila? Is Mila a prerequisite that you can't be, Tevel v'sheretz biyada? You can't be Tevel while a person still has an Arel? Or is it that the Mila is also an essential part of Geirus? It plays a critical role in establishing, the Kedushas Yisrael. So perhaps, according to the Ramban, that the Seder is not Miyakev, then the Tefillah and the Mila are interchangeable because each one has a role to play in establishing the Geirus and the conversion. However, according to Tosfos, that the Mila has to occur first, perhaps Tosfos believes that because the Mila is not part of Geirus at all, it's but a prerequisite for the Tefillah. You can't be Tevel while a person is still in Ara. This issue will have far-reaching consequences, ramifications, particularly, let's say, with regards to one issue which comes up, by the way, of a person who thought he was Jewish and had a proper Mila that was done. Not a circumcision in a hospital, with a Geisha doctor. That's not a circumcision at all. That's not a Mila. But a person, let's say, had a Mila with a male because they thought he was Jewish. Later on, it turns out he wasn't Jewish. So he's going to convert. Can it be Yaitse with that Mila that he had all those years ago when they thought he was Jewish? That was a Mila's Yahadus, but not a Mila's Geirus. So, can that suffice? So, of course, this is a shaila discussed by the many poskim. And the this issue, which is Chuvas Mishpatei Shmuel, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frey discussed in the Hartzvi, might revolve around this Nakuda. If the Mila of Gerus is part of the stage of Gerus, perhaps it has to be done, the Shem Gerus. If it's just a prerequisite that for the Tvila, it can't be Tevil, Vesheretz B'Yodai, so then. Even if it was done the Shem Yadus, that should be sufficient. This is also perhaps at the heart of another issue discussed by the Paiskim, with regards to general anesthesia. It's a discussion with regards to Mila. Should you give topical anesthetic? No anesthetic. Traditionally, we don't give any anesthetic. Some have advocated for giving a topical anesthetic. Nobody wants a general anesthetic, but when you come to a Mila of an adult, we're dealing with consulting adults over here, we're talking about a surgery. So, should you, many times you want general anesthesia? Can you have general anesthesia during Milas Gerus? So it's a discussion that's had by the Pais Ministry. Topical anesthesia, for sure, but what about what about general anesthesia? So that's a discussion that's had by Dain Grosnas and the Lev Aryeh, who says no, the Treaty H says yes. Perhaps this issue revolves around this fundamental machlok, is how to view the Mila of Gerus. If Mila of Gerus is a prerequisite to Gerus, you can't be tovah v'sheretz b'yodai. Okay, so you don't have to be awake during the mila. But if it's a stage of gerus, it's part of what makes you Jewish, how can you be sleeping while you're becoming Jewish? You have to be awake. So therefore, that's why perhaps some reject this and say that you have to be because you have to be awake. You can't have general anesthesia. But just as a side issue, what emerges from this discussion with Berish and Iskayer, just getting back to that point, which is the source of the Ramban, that the Seder is not miyakev. So Ramban said, because the benoy nitzar of tefillah, the child's tefillah's geirus happens when he's inside of his mother, and the meal will happen subsequently. And that meal will be a meal's geirus. So what emerges, according to the Ramban, is that when a person is born, even though he's born from a Jewish mother, if he was conceived when the woman was not Jewish, so the child is still not Jewish. Even though he was born from a Jewish mother, since at the time that he was conceived, genetically, let's say, is from a non-Jewish mother, even though the birth mother is Jewish, because she converted in the interim, he's not Jewish. He still requires a milas gerus. So according to the Ramban, Tosis might have given different indications, we're in the Gemara differently, but at least according to the Ramban, the Gemara Mubarish and his Gemara gives an indication, at least with regards, might be relevant for surrogate motherhood, that when we're trying to determine who's the main mother, genetic mother, birth mother, that perhaps we see that it's not the birth mother. Because over here, this child is born from a Jewish mother, but still not considered fully Jewish. However, the problem is another Gemara Masechta Yevamos Daf Mem Zayin Amud Beis, where the Gemara says, same situation, Muberish and Nizgaira, but in a Tzarach Tefila. But instead of one child, she's pregnant with twins. So Gemara says, after they're born, even though they require, Milas Geirus, according to the Ramban, but these two twins can't marry each other's relatives. They can't marry, Eshesach. He can't marry the brother's, wife. Achamisa. Why? Because they're craving. Why are they craving? If they're gerim, gershon is gerim, kodin shenoy ledami. Why are they prohibited from marrying each other's craving? So this gives the indication that what is the koveya for Yahadus is the birth mother. Since the mother, even though she wasn't Jewish when she conceived them, she was Jewish when she gave birth to them, they're Jews, not gerim. So that might indicate that it's genetic mother, not the birth mother. And Reb Naftali Trop in the Chidushei Garnat, the Masechtas Yevamos, distinguishes that perhaps there's two types, there's a different, for different parts of being Jewish, perhaps with regards to Kedushas Israel and Yichus, there perhaps are different points in time establish Yiddishkeit for different issues. So maybe genetics determines Yichus and Arayus, whereas the time of the birth determines Yiddishkeit vis-a-vis Kedushas Israel. Perhaps each one has their own determining factor. But since, because of this conversion, most contemporary Paiskim assume that when the situation of a surrogate motherhood, which is happens in our communities, that you should always require Geirus L'chumra, because it's somewhat difficult to figure out what is the Kaveya of which one is the primary kaveya? Perhaps there's both. When a person, after he performs the meal, we said you have to do the Seder, we should at least, the Seder of the Gemara has, whether it's Makiv or not, Machlekes Rishonim, the Seder is Mila and then Tefillah. You have to wait for the meal to heal before doing the Tefillah. What is the status of this person in the interim? So the Gemara says, Ger Shemal V'lo Tovau, Eino Ger. Pretty unequivocal. A person who had Mila but no Tefillah is not considered to be Jewish. However, how not Jewish is he? So that was a shaila that came up in the mid-1800s when the chief rabbi of Yerushalayim was Shmuel Salant, and he went away for some trip or vacation, and he appointed in the interim, it's always, you know, the interim rabbi was Rabbi Asher Lemo, the chief rabbi of Yerushalayim during that period of time. And this shaila was raised about a ger, shemavo tevo. Every ger has this. This time takes time for the meal to heal. So what is his status in the interim? So Gemara says, Eino ger. Yeah, but is he Eino ger completely? Or is he not a, you know, is he a goy? Or is he not a goy and not a Yisrael? He's a yatzah michlal nachri, but michlal Yisrael lobo. What is he? And the difference will be with regard to the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin, Gemara Masechta Chagiga, that a ger is a guy is prohibited from keeping Shabbos, prohibited from learning Torah. Is this ger shemav lo'tavah prohibited from doing these activities? So Rav Asher Lemo felt that he were the ger shemav lo'tavah is obligated to be mechal Shabbos. He has the status of a guy gomer, can't keep Shabbos, can't learn Torah. And when Shmuel Salant returned, the shaila was sent to other rabbanim as well. He felt, as well as Rabbi Yaakov Etliger, the author of Binyan Siyah and Aruch Lener, that the person is not a goy, he's not a yid, ger shemav l'tavah, ain't a ger, he's not a ger, but he's also not a goy, and therefore he would not be osur to keep Shabbos, he's not chayev to be mechal al Shabbos. This could in fact be already have a root in the machlokes as we shine. The Gemara says in Masechta Yevamos, that derives from a pasuk that a ger shemav l'tavah doesn't bring carbon Pesach. Because even though he's not an Ariel, he still can't bring carbon Pesach. So the Gemara asks, what do you need a Tosfos asks? What do you need Gzeiras HaKosev? That a ger shemav lo'tavah can't bring carbon Pesach, even though he's not an Ariel. He's not a Jew either. How can he bring carbon Pesach? Ger shemav lo'tavah, you know, ger. So Tosfos says, no, it's from here that we derive from this Gzeiras HaKosev, the carbon Pesach, that a ger shemav lo'tavah is not a ger. This is the source. However, the Rajba has a different answer. The Rajba says, no, he's not a ger. What the Gemara means, ger shemav lo'tavah is not a ger, means he's not a Yisrael, but he's still not a goy. So he might not have been precluded from being in Karban Pesach. So that's why the Gemara to have a special Zeres HaKosev, then no, he can't be Karban Pesach. So this already has its source already in perhaps in Machlekes HaRishonim.
Because the
Gemara derives from a Pasuk that a Ger Shemav Lo'tavah can't bring Karban Pesach. So Tosfos says, why do you need a Zeres HaKosev? He's not a guy. He's not a Jew. Obviously he's a Ger. He's a guy. So he says, yeah, that we learn that from here. The Rajma says, no, he's not a goy. He's not a Jew, but he's not a goy. He gets a certain mixah status. This quasi-limbo status might not only exist with regards to the ger shemav lo'tavah, but even perhaps already with the ger shebol izgayer, who's already in the process of conversion, meaning he's learning to become a ger. Tosfos Yeshanim writes himself in Sivam, it's also a Sefer Chassidim, that Tosfos Yeshanim says, a ger who's a bol izgayer is in the process of converting, even if he hasn't had a meal yet, already can keep Shabbos. And he's not a goy, he's a Shabbos Chayav Misa. Already the Sefer Chassidim says he shouldn't be fed Macholos Asuros. If he's a ger, no, but probably because he's habituated, you know, he's accustomed, you know, becoming accustomed to keep the Torah and the Mitzvah. So maybe it's just an Eitz HaTovah Kamash Malan. But he sounds like it's also for him to eat Macholos Asuros. And perhaps it's because even though they haven't had a Mila, Tosfos told us what is the most essential stage of Geiros is Kabbalah on Mitzvahs. So once they accept, you know, they're on the road of keeping the Torah and the Mitzvahs, that's the equivalent of a ger shemav lo'tavah. He's already begun to, you know, the process has begun. So he's in a quasi-limbo status of not being a goy, but also not being a Jew. And perhaps, therefore, those Isurim of learning Torah, of keeping Shabbos, should be relieved, and he should be allowed to do that. This also is relevant with regards to the ger habolis guy who wants to learn Torah, which is a shaila that's discussed by all the Paiskim who deal with this issue. But this analysis is already made by Rav Asher Weiss and Minchas Osher, Dying Russell says in Lev Aryeh, that this is, it could be the heart of a machlokes in the Marsha and Rabbi Kiva Eger. Remember that Gemara Masechta Shabbos, that the ger came to Hillel, they wanted to convert him, that he should become the Kohen Gadol. So Hillel told him, Hillel converted him. Then when the guy learned a little bit more, he found that Zara Kor of Yumas, that he's never going to become the Kohen Gadol, even though David HaMelech could not wear the big dekuna. So the Marsha asked in that Gemara the question that Tosfos asks, that how could Hillel have converted him? You can't convert somebody who's converting from an ulterior motive. So Tosfos gave his answer that a kol if he really sinning a dayan. Sometimes a dayan can do it, but if he assumes that they can determine that the guy will keep, you know, be sincere in the end. The Marsha gives a different shot than Tosfos. The Marsha says, no, Hillel never converted him. Hillel just told him, go, you want to convert and become a kol, you know, do me a favor, go learn a little bit about Yiddishkeit, then come back to me. But he never converted from the ulterior motive. Then his image, you know, his dream was shattered. Then he came back and said, you know what, I want to convert nonetheless. Then Hillel converted him when there was no longer an ulterior motive. However, the Maharsha then is faced with another problem. If the guy wasn't converting for an ulterior motive, how did Hillel tell him to go and learn? If he didn't convert yet, how could Hillel tell him go learn? He's the Nisav Talmud Torah. The Maharsha says that Ger Habava Isgayer is allowed to learn. And Rabbi Kiva Eger disagrees. A Ger Habava Isgayer is not allowed to learn. That's why Tosfos didn't give the answer to the Maharsha. Tosfos said, no, he converted right away. Then he said, go learn. Because otherwise, how can you tell him go learn? Even though he's a Ger Habava Isgayer, he can't learn Torah. So Rav Moshe writes in the Igros Moshe that every ger, by the way, we're going to have to educate them somewhat before the gerus. So Rav Moshe says if they're, you know, this is all machlekes, is only if they're investigated gerus. You know, like the ger habol izgayer. Then there's an iser perhaps for the ger to learn Torah, even though he's a ger habol izgayer according to Rabbi Kiva Eger. However, if it's you know, immediate, the guy's already determined he wants to be Jewish. Now he says, I got to know what I'm about to get myself into. So then everyone would agree you could teach him. However, perhaps the Marsha's reasoning was that a Ger Habol Izgayer is already considered in this limbo status because he's already accepted to keep the Torah in the mitzvah somewhat. He's already in the road of Geirus, and it's like the Ger Shemav Lotava, where many felt that he should have at least somewhat the status of a Ger. He's not a Ger, but he's not a Nachri either. So that's why some suggested with regards to inviting a Goy to your Seder table, which is Nyantif, one is not allowed to invite a Goy to dine with him because we're afraid Gzeira Shema Yarba Bishvilo, you might cook for the Ger, one is not allowed to invite a Nachri, I'm sorry, to Yantif meal because we're afraid Gzeira Shema Yarba Bishvilo, you might cook for him on Yantif, and one is not allowed to cook for a non-Jew on Yantif. The boss says, Ach, Asher Yochel Lechol Nefesh, Hu Levada Yasa Lechem, Velo La'akum, you can cook on Yantif for yourself, but not for non-Jews. So therefore you can't invite him to the table, Gzeira Shema Yarba Bishvilo. But if the person is a Goy Habol Izgayer, so then maybe you can have him at your table. The issur of cooking for manyantif should not apply. Others have argued, if Shlomo Zalman suggested, you don't even need to go that far. Because the guy's coming to you, you're doing him a favor. He wants to see what Yiddishkeit is all about. Why would I cook extra for him? You know, I'm doing him a favor by having him over. So maybe you have that argument too. I always say, if the guy is so Jewish that he's going to a hotel already for yantif, that would be the best. Because then all the people who are cooking are nachrim anyway. Nachri is allowed to cook for another nachri and yantif. So that might be the best. I've suggested my own chumrah. I don't usually suggest chumras, but if you're going to take this to the next level, many rabbanim who, in order to make sure that the mechiras chametz is taken seriously, dafka sell the chametz to a goy habol izgayer. So I think if we're going to take this seriously, then maybe he shouldn't be eating machos asuras like the sefer chassidim. Then I don't think we should necessarily be selling the chametz to him either. So maybe already he has some limbo status once he's a ger habol izgayer, but. That's my own. I haven't seen that anywhere. The Gemara tells him, Maseches Yevamos, we mentioned it already, that in order for a Geirus to be valid, the Pasuk says, the Gemara tells it has to be done in the presence of three Dayanim, because the Pasuk says, Mishpat Echad Yehuachem, just like the Imamnish requires three Dayanim, so too Geirus requires three Dayanim as well. Therefore, a Geir, there was Megayer Beino Beinatzmo, the Geirus is, of course, meaningless. The Nesivus, the first Nesivus in Chesh Mishpat, raises the issue that how do we have any Geirus in our times? All of our Dayanim are not real Dayanim. They don't have Smicha. So the Nesivus quotes a Machlekes HaRishonim about this. The Rashba quotes a Machlekes HaRashba, who says you don't need Smicha for Geirus. The only time you need Smicha is when you're issuing a Psak Halacha. If you're just observing something, so then you don't need smicha. And Taisus disagrees. Taisus' opinion is the reason why all geirus is valid nowadays is not because you don't need smicha in order to do geirus. It's because we have a principle of shlichusayu dekamoi kavdinon. We are the emissaries the continuation of those previous dayanim who did have smicha. Which the Gemara has this principle elsewhere as well. Shlichusayu dekamoi. So if it's based on shlichusayu, the Rav Shechter quoted the name of Tzvi Pesach Frank and the Or Sameach that perhaps a dayan who does anything that's not according to protocol undermines his own legitimacy. The whole legitimacy of dayanim is because we're shichusayu dekamoi. We're acting as the continuation of previous dayanim. Previous dayanim gave us instructions about how to go about geirus. You shouldn't convert somebody who's converting for an ulterior motive. If they did convert, you shouldn't allow them to get married. So maybe anybody who deviates in any way from the protocols of geirus has undermined his legitimacy as a dayan, because it's a shliach shashina mishlichuso, that undermines the whole shlichus. That's pretty far, but interesting suggestion, of course, nonetheless. However, Rav Moshe writes in the Gemara, for this reason, since Geiris has to be performed in front of Dayanim, reform conversions and conservative conversions are totally invalid. Some people involved in Geiris, maybe we should accept certain conservative Geiris, the Chumrah. However, Rav Moshe writes, fundamentally, a conservative Geiris, reform Geiris, is not valid Geiris at all, because it wasn't performed in front of Dayanim. There are three conservative rabbis there, but they are possible Dayanis. They don't keep Torah mitzvahs themselves. So how can we expect the Ger to be more religious than his rabbi? So first of all, they're possible Dayanis. I'm sorry, it's 2 points. First of all, they're possible Dayanis. They don't properly keep the Torah and the mitzvahs. And even if they did, they're not kashrut Dayanis. And in that kind of situation, we kind of have an umdur de muchach that the ger is not going to be more religious than his rabbi. So the Kabbalah Tol Mitzvahs is undermined as well. But fundamentally, since these people are apostle of Dionysus, the ger is considered to be poor and performed the shalob if they based in. Even if they would, the ger would be sincere in terms of keeping the Torah and the mitzvahs. And therefore, the ger is, would be no good. Rav Sternbach writes in the Tshuvas van Haggis, which is this Tshuvas received a lot of attention in recent times, that any Dayan who performs one Geirus is not conforming to the accepted standards of Geirus is also possible to Dayanus for Geirus. And so fine, that's for the future. We see he doesn't keep the proper standards when he's converting. So therefore, how can we assume any of his conversions are good for the future? But Rav Sternbach said, if you did it once, that's Megalo Mafreya, then all of your conversions were no good. And therefore, you're puzzled by Dayanus Lumafreya as well, and all of the conversions that you did, even if they are sincere, are considered to be performed shalob if they based them. Wow. So that's an issue that's discussed in our times. Which parts of the Geirus have to... Yeah?
What was it? From the Rav, if you don't accept the conditions of Chazal, then therefore you're basically cutting off the Shlichus.
Yeah, that's so a suggestion.
So how is it different from what Rav Moshe said about, in terms of the Dayanim not being... That was a different...
Rav Moshe was assuming that they themselves don't keep the Torah and the mitzvah. So Shachter was saying, even if you're a frum guy,
right,
a frum guy, you did something, not kafi protocol.
Oh, even that.
Yeah, but now you're a shliach, shashina mishlichuso.
Got it.
No good. That means any infraction, however small, would render you possible to Dayanus for Geirus, which is based on Shlichusai. Which parts of the Geirus have to be performed in front of Beis Din? So, where do we define them? Requirement for Beis Din. All of Geirus is based on Maimed Har Sinai, as we say, Chachem Kager. So, all of Geirus is based on Maimed Har Sinai. So, where was there a Beis Din in Maimed Har Sinai? That's one question. So, many suggest that the answer is that because the Beis Din is standing in the presence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu was present at Maimed Har Sinai. So the Beis Din, just like Kadosh Baruch Hu conferred upon us Kedushas Yisrael at the time of Maimed Har Sinai, so too Beis Din is the one who's conferring, they're standing in the place of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and they're conferring Kedushas Yisrael upon the potential convert. That's why Rav Shechter suggests in the Ginas Egos, or Rabbi Yashar has this in his Aris Masechet Kedushin as well, that Ger is only allowed to Danis Chavera Ger. That comes up over here in Shulchan Aruch. He's not allowed to be in a position of authority within the community unless his authority is only over Gerim. Because the Pasuk says, Som Tasim Alecha Melech, Mikerev Achecha, all positions of authority have to be Mikerev Achecha, and it can't be a person who's not Imam Yisrael. That's why smicha candidates in the smicha program, who are candidates for smicha, who are gerim, is also an interesting shaila. Can a person be a rov if he's a ger? So I was told that the policy of Ritz is that we will give smicha to gerim because if Salvechik felt that it's not a srara to be a rov anymore in our times, it's an avdus. It's not authority, it's servitude. Or Blach told me he thought also that it's similar, that that was only the time when there was authority. What authority does a rabbi have anymore? People don't like you. They'll leave the shul and start their own. So no authority. But Shechter and Rabbi Wilk are not so thrilled with this policy.
Accepting them or replacing them?
Right. So a person could become, take on a position where you know that he's not going to be, he just wants to learn or whatever.
Right.
So we have many people here in the Smicha program for lots of different reasons. So that's, but if a person wants to be a Rav, it would be a problem.
They're bothered by the
ladder. Yeah. But what about serving as a dayan for Gerus? Is that called being danis chavero ager? So Rabbi Yashiv suggests, no, that's not called being danis chavero ager, because there you're conferring, you're standing in the, you're the representative of all of Klal Yisrael, conferring Kedushas Yisrael on this individual. You're standing in the place of the Ribbono Shel Olam, conferring Kedushas Yisrael upon this individual. So in such a situation, that's the role that Beis Din plays. That's not called being danis chavero ager. That's called standing in the, you know, that's a position of authority in all of Klal Yisrael in terms of conferring Kedushas Yisrael, and he cannot serve as a dayan for Gerus. Many times, Gerim want to serve as a dayan for Gerus because they feel they can understand, you know, what the process is, you know, to a better degree. But it's highly questionable whether that's appropriate. The which parts of Gerus have to take place in front of Beis Din? So we mentioned Tosfos and Masechta Yevamos says that, of course, the Kabbalah Shel Mitzvos has to take place in front of Beis Din. That's the Ikar, most essential stage of all of Gerus, whereas the Tefillah doesn't necessarily have to take place in front of Beis Din. That was how Tosfos derived from that Gemara of the Milo Tavla L'Nidusa. The Pesachei Tshuva over here in Sifkat and Gimel quotes from the Dagon Merivah that perhaps it's only a person who's going to have a Kabbalah Shel Mitzvos. So the Beis Din will witness Kabbalah Shel Mitzvos, even if they don't witness the Tefillah, that's okay. However, if there will be no Kabbalah Shel Mitzvos, like a Ger Katan, then Beis Din has to witness the Tefillah. Perhaps there it's Miyakev, even according to Tosfos, because that is the whole Gerus, there's nothing else. So that's why many times the Beis Din will ask a woman who's converting, are you pregnant? So they should know if she's, she probably thinks that they're checking, whether or not she kept to the Shmiras Torah and Mitzvahs that they've been asking of her to do leading up to the Gerus. But not only are they doing that, they're also, finding out if she's pregnant, that the conversion of the Ubar should take place in front of Beis Din, in order so that the Tefillah take place in front of Beis Din, because when it comes to Mubarish and Isgaira, or Ger Katan, where there is no Kabbalah Shel Mitzvos, there the Tefillah is the whole Gerus that has to take place in front of Beis Din. The Rambam and the Rif, of course, have a different, as we mentioned already, different interpretation of that Gemara, Migo, Tavel, and Nidusa. It doesn't mean that the Tefillah doesn't have to take place in front of Beis Din. It's that if a woman is going to Tefillah Mikvah for Nidus, even though she wasn't born as a Jew, she probably converted somewhere along the way. She probably became aware of this issue, and we could assume that her conversion, she had a valid conversion somewhere. But, in Achinami, Tefillah's Gerus has to take place in front of Beis Din. It's not enough that there were people outside witnessing the Tefillah. The whole thing has to take place in front of Beis Din. Or it's not that Tefillah doesn't require Beis Din, it requires Beis Din. So that's the other opinion over here that's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, that Tefillah does require Beis Din, and of course, we're Machmir. It's two opinions in Shulchan Aruch, Meisher, Bavadi, right, Sake of the Din, and we are Machmir, that Tefillah requires Beis Din, like the opinion of the Rambam, the Pesachei Tshuva, Sifkan, and Beis, right, if a person didn't have this, he should go back to the mikvah, and do it again. It has to be done in front of Beis Din. What about Mila in front of Beis Din? So there's a steer, the Shilta Gibarim writes, even though the Rif required Tefillah in front of Beis Din, he never required Mila in front of Beis Din. Now that might be because, according to the Rif, and this is the opinion of the Ramban as well, that Mila is not an essential part of Gerus. Mila is just a prerequisite. You can't be Toyim over Sheretz B'Yodoy. So that doesn't require Beis Din. However, it's a steer. How should we paskin? We paskin the Seder, it's two opinions. Is the Seder Miyakev? Is Mila part of Gerus? Is it a prerequisite? And it's a steer on Pesachei Tshuva. Over here, look carefully. In Siman Reish Samaches, whether or not Mila requires that it be done in front of Beis Din. This is a big nafkamina for a person who had a Mila because he thought he was Jewish, and it turns out later he wasn't. But he had a Milas Yahadus. At that Milas Yahadus, there might have been a Kashra Mayo, but there might not have been a Beis Din. So can that Mila serve as his Milas Gerus? It wasn't performed in front of Beis Din. So that's an issue that's discussed.
If
the Seder is Miyakev, Mila is a prerequisite. You don't need a Beis Din. If Mila is not Miyakev, correct, yeah. Correct. Oh, so the Shulchan Gibran would not fit with the Ramban, yeah. Two last Nakudas. One is that the Tosfos has one other Teretz in Akamar, Mila Tavla Nidusa. How is she able to go to the... that the Tefillas Nidus should serve as the Tefillas Gerus, Tosfos, but there's no Beis Din there. So Tosfos gives one answer that perhaps since there's people outside watching her walk into the mikvah, that's sufficient. We know what she's doing inside. She comes out with her hair all wet. We know she's going in to go to the mikvah. So then that constitutes a Beis Din. That Eidus Yediyah without Eidus Re'iyah is good enough. However, that teres never makes it into the Shulchan Aruch, and in fact, Shulchan Aruch applies otherwise. Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Rambam, and over here in Sif Beis, that the Gemara discusses how should a person go about a tefilas isha for gerus in front of Beis Din. It's going to be a tznius issue. So the Gemara says she should be nichnas b'mayim ad savara. She gets into the mikvah up into her neck. Then the dayanim walk in, and if the lights are all off in the room. So then you can't see if the dayanim are standing by the door where there is light and there's lights off in the room and she's sitting in the mikveh with her neck and up to her neck in the water, they won't be able to see into the water. Many are not satisfied with that, the assumption that you can't see into the water, and they'll put some sort of tunic around the woman in the mikveh while the dayanim are in there that's very loose fitting or something along those lines. So the but then the Gemara continues. And the Rambam continues, V'hi toveles bifneihem. She goes into the mikvah in front of them. So Shulchan Aruch says she has to be tovel bifneihem. So Rav Moshe writes in the Gemara Moshe, Rabbi Avadia, you see from here that we reject that answer in Tosfos. Eidus yedia, that Eidus re'iyah is not good enough. It's not good enough that the dayanim stand by the door and hear a splash. They have to see her submerge within the mikvah. They can walk out before she ever comes back up. But they have to see her submerge within the mikvah. He toveles bifneihem as a Shulchan Aruch. Without that, of course, the Geirus Geirus would be no good. One final ha'ara is the Ramah concludes over here in Hilchos Geirus that if a person is a mumar, so then he requires tevila midrabanan when he rejoins the ranks of Klal Yisrael. Why should he require tevila midrabanan? The Gemara has in Sanhedrin Yisrael shechata afa pi shechata Yisrael hu. So Shechter suggests in the Ginos Egos that perhaps it's based on a Gemara Masechtas Yevamos, where the Gemara says with regards to Kusim who converted to another religion. That they didn't move from that place until they removed their Kedushas Yisrael. So some sefer in his comments in Hilchos Tefillin derives from this Gemara that we have the ability, if we all gather together, to remove, Beisim will gather together, to remove Kedushas Yisrael from somebody who converts to another religion. In fact, the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Chalitza quotes from the Ga'anim that a woman who has a brother who converted, a husband who has a brother converted to another religion, is not zaykik liyibum, that the wife should not require, of the husband who passed away, should not require chalitza from him, because he's lost the status of Kedushas Yisrael if he converted to another religion. We have this ability to remove Kedushas Yisrael. So too, over here the Ramah says, a person converts to another religion, when he comes back to the ranks of Klal Yisrael, he should do tefillah. Because we have the ability to remove his Kedushas Yisrael. Even if we didn't, we have that ability, and therefore he should require tefillah when he returns. God giveth, God taketh away. So the Beis Din has the ability to give Kedushas Yisrael. Beis Din also has the ability to remove Kedushas Yisrael. Okay, Shkenechem.